for helping out with our worship this morning. For all of you taking part in that, and maybe people at home taking part as well. I do enjoy worship, and although I can't sing very well, I do enjoy singing, which is a problem sometimes. And because we're doing live streaming, we're trying to get a good sound via live stream that we have in here. And that takes a lot of behind-the-scenes work, and that microphone right there is to try and help give that feel like you're here in this place. The problem is I'm standing right there, and I'm self-conscious now about whether that microphone's picking me up. So sometimes I'm just up here or over there kind of milli-vanilling it and just mouthing it. Yes, I'm young enough, old enough, whichever, to know who Milli Vanilli is. So if you don't get that reference, sorry, you're too young. One of the things that Sunday mornings, as I was reminding our first service folks who have been used to, and maybe that was your experience growing up too, of getting a bulletin every single Sunday. What is that? We don't even know what that is anymore. It was a piece of paper we gave you as you walked in here so you could see what's going on the whole service. Well, you can probably guess whatever service you're coming to pretty much what's going on. And the whole point of our regular routine of worship, that you come, we worship together, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to read from Scripture, Ted's going to have a message. All of it is centered around God speaking to us through it. I believe He does that through His Holy Spirit. And one of the important parts, I think, of just spending some time with Him on a Sunday morning as a family of believers, as a Christian community, as the body of Christ, is to help us remind ourselves as we get ready for a week what our week is supposed to be all about. Being centered and focused on Jesus and what that means, that we live for Jesus each and every day. Not just obviously getting up on Sunday and coming here or turning your television on and watching us via live stream, but every single day of the week. Last Sunday, I was talking about essential things in life. I started out my message with talking about what I believed to be essential and highlighted the fact that we had this term used in the last year, in 2020, of essential and non-essential. What is essential and what isn't essential? And I used that as a way to kind of jump into what we did last week, which if you were here, we celebrated communion together. And if you were at home, I invited you to get the things ready for you to celebrate communion at home. But that was one of the ways in which I said this is essential. Experiencing the grace of God is essential in our lives. And I hope that if you were here or you watched, that was meaningful to you to help you actually experience that, because I believe that. I believe it is essential. But I started thinking then about these essential things in life and thought to myself, I think I want to talk a little bit more about that, about what is essential for us as followers of Jesus. And before I get into just the message itself, one of the essential things for us is our connection with God through prayer. And we've had a difficult December as Grace Church family. The flowers that are up here in front of me, behind me, are here from Yvonne's sisters and mother's funeral that we did on Friday evening. If you remember, we were sharing about that in the beginning of December, but with everything that happened, we could only do the services this past Friday. And so we actually had a service for both Yvonne's sister, who passed earlier in December, and Yvonne's mother, who passed later in December, and we had to do a service for the both of them. And many of you from Grace Church family, I've done more funerals than I'd like to do in December and this time of year, and you've experienced some of that. One of the essential things that we have as Christians, what we can do for each other, is to pray for each other, to comfort each other. If you're a part of our prayer circle, this past week you got an email, a phone call, or a text message to be in prayer for Jennifer Hudson's mother who contracted COVID. Jennifer is a neighbor across the street from Jess and I, and Jennifer and her family come here to Grace Church, and her mother-in-law comes to Grace Church in the morning, and she asked if we'd be praying for her. Some of you have worked in nursing care facilities and know what it's been like throughout 2020, and it's been tough for you just being there day in and day out in the healthcare industry and just being there with lots of people who have not been able to see their family, and that's been difficult. And of course, this past week, if you turned the news on, you saw some chaos within our own country that continues to have us struggling to figure out what things are going to look like for 2021. And so part of the essentials as followers of Jesus, as a community of believers, is our opportunity, ability, privilege to take people and issues and circumstances before God in prayer. And before I begin my message, I just want to do that together, to be in prayer for these folks and for situations within our world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we give you thanks this morning that we can come before you in this way. And even, Lord, as I am up here praying for some specific things, I know everybody has entered into this room with things on their heart and mind, people at home watching, things on their heart and their mind. Lord, I'm thankful that we serve a God who is enthroned over it all, and Lord, that you know all things and can do all things. God, thank you for loving us enough as we celebrated this past Sunday with communion, sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. Lord, our world is a mess and in chaos, and it's this way because of human rebellion. God, thank you for providing a way of freedom, a way of salvation, a way of experiencing your grace. And we ask, Lord, that you'd forgive us for where we have rebelled against you, where we have sinned against you, Lord. And we're thankful that your word tells us that if we are come before you and confess our sin, Lord God, you are faithful and just to forgive us. God, we're thankful that you have not left us alone in this world, but Jesus promised one who would be our encourager, supporter, comforter, advocate, the one who would point us in the right direction and help us to know your will and your heart, your Holy Spirit. And God, now I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be upon the Nestor family and Dick Boyer, Yvonne's dad, and just pray that you'd comfort them during this time of loss. Lord, others within our Grace Church family that have struggled, suffered, losing someone. God, it's been a difficult year for many people. And I'm thankful that you offer your comfort to us. And I pray it specifically for these families. I pray it for Jennifer's mom and just pray that you would restore health to her. God, I'm thankful for the many people that do their best to care for those who are sick. Pray for those who have been in nursing care facilities and not able to see family and friends. Pray for those who are serving in those places, Lord, and ask that you'd protect them and give them health and strength. God, it's no mystery what we see going on all around us. As the psalmist said, you are enthroned over the flood. The chaos that we see within our world isn't only something that happens in the ancient Near Eastern world. It happens in our lives, in our day. And so, God, we pray that you would help us to understand what's going on. But, Lord, we pray that you would help us to remain faithful to you. God, I pray that those who lead would lead in a way that brings righteousness and justice into our world, into our culture. I pray, Lord God, that you would put in the forefront of their mind a devotion and desire for truth and for what's right and to do good. God, we know that that only happens when we live and strive to follow your ways. And so, God, we pray that for our country. God, I pray that as we have gathered in this place to worship you, that you would continue to speak to us and help us to live our lives by hearing, live our lives for Jesus by hearing from your word. And so may your Holy Spirit have his way in our hearts and our minds as we open up your word and hear from you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This word essential and non-essential has become a part of our vocabulary. And one of the things that surprisingly to probably almost all of us, if you were to use the word essential and say, what is essential to your life, you probably wouldn't have thought of this. This is Empress. This is the brand of toilet paper we use here at our church, in case you were wondering. This became one of the most essential items of 2020. So essential that when you went to the store, let's say back in end of March, beginning of April, you couldn't find it. And in fact, you probably went to multiple stores wondering where it all was. Then you went online to see if you could buy some online, and you couldn't find any of this online. As I said this morning, I'm not sure that Jody Sitkowski is a prophetess or not. She takes care of buying this kind of stuff, but for whatever reason, she had bought a box of it, like a case of it, right before it all happened. So I wasn't super worried about it. I could just walk down to the church. I got a key for it, unlock it, and there's mountains of gold, except it was toilet paper. And it's strange what becomes essential in our lives and how this became so essential to us. It's weird. But that's what got me thinking about this idea of essential and non-essential and why I wanted to point this out to us as followers of Jesus, as human beings. That doesn't seem too essential. And one of the things that we tried to do this past Advent season was because this became a very high commodity and people were actually buying it in cases online and you couldn't get it until they figured that out and they stopped it. But we had the issue of hoarding. Some of you went out to buy a freezer. I know, John, that was your story, to buy a freezer. I just talked to somebody yesterday who went out to buy a freezer, and they couldn't get one. They're all on back order because everybody was buying meat and meat. I remember walking to Walmart, and there was no chicken at all. Just wanted a piece of chicken. I couldn't buy any chicken. We began to see these things as essential, and we began to focus in on self-preservation. And our whole point of the season of giving and Advent was we need to be focused on others. We need to love our neighbor as Jesus has called us to do, maybe even more so in the midst of what was going on in our world. And so that was our effort of trying to help us as a church family do that. Because it's essential, these people in our lives. Another thing that's essential to human existence is human touch. Now, these studies have been out for a long time. Maybe you know this already. But human touch is vital to the development of a newborn baby. Did you know that? That a newborn baby that is not touched, does not have that feel in human touch, actually can prevent its development. Not being touched can diminish its growth, a baby's growth. And I read an article that was put out by a nurse that works in prenatal care and preemie unit and is trying to instruct new moms and when the babies are there, actually talking about what kind of touch needs to happen beyond simply changing a baby's diaper. That's in one of these units, or just feeding a baby with a bottle. She was describing human touch that was about cuddling and snuggling and somehow touching, and they did studies on this, touching the baby that it knows that it's not just, I got to change my diaper, now there you're laying again, but it's actually feeling that sense of human touch. This was so important that they've discovered, as they were doing some studies in orphanages where there was a high mortality rate of infants why it was so high, and they discovered lack of human touch in a baby can actually lead to that baby's death. There is a connection between no human touch and a baby's death. It's diminished or lack of growth and development that can actually affect them when they grow to be a toddler and beyond. That's how important this human touch is in their lives. And I want to suggest to you that that doesn't disappear simply because you're 3 instead of a baby, or you're 13, or 23, or 33, or 53, or 83. That human touch is an essential part of human existence, and it plays a vital role in our development. And so those relationships become essential to us, and the author of Hebrews is going to point that out to us. And this is one of those things that's been rattling through my mind as far as what is essential to human existence. And one of those things that we've had to forego in the midst of this COVID is human touch. Some of you are huggers. You like to hug everybody. People come, you hug them. People leave, you hug them. You know, maybe when they're at your house throughout the visit, you hug them and things get weird because you're very touchy-feely. And so things have not been right with you. You may have actually felt physically, you felt different emotionally, mentally, because that is a big part of who you are. That's like how you feel right with the world. Some of you don't like hugs, and this has been wonderful for you. Nobody can hug you. But even now you're like, you know, it wouldn't hurt to get that hug when something's going on or it's your birthday or whatever. Some of you pretend like you don't like hugs. And really deep down inside, you do want a hug. And you know who I'm talking about in the back. Human touch is a huge part of who we are. There's a story about Jesus comes into a town. There's a man there who has leprosy, a disease that once you contracted that disease in Jesus' day, you were isolated from the community, basically for the rest of your life. If you were a Jew, because of being unclean, because of contagion, and it was a disease that really kind of ate your skin. You were a walking corpse. That's how they described this disease. So Jesus walks into this town, and this man comes before him, having been isolated from the community most of his life, or at least since he's had this disease. You know what Jesus does? He embraces that man. He touches him, and he heals him. I've been hearing words and things being discussed in the midst of what's going on in 2020 about not being allowed to hug somebody. And that phraseology bothers me. Now, I had the sniffles back in November, October. I can't remember when. But I had the sniffles, and I was down with my parents, and I decided I'm just not going to give my mom a hug when I leave or my dad a hug when I leave, because I always do that. I give him a hug and a kiss and I leave. That's just normal. That's standard. But I was feeling the sniffles, and so I didn't do that, just, you know, to play it safe. But nobody can tell me I can't hug my mom. I've heard people say, well, we're not allowed to do that. No, you can do that. It's one thing if you decide not to hug somebody because of everything that's going on, and that's your decision. But nobody can tell you you can't hug your mom. The only person that can tell me I can't hug my mom is my mom and say, you can't hug me. Okay, I won't hug you then. But there's something very basic about human existence within giving that person that hug, human touch. The other basic part that is in connection with that is human relationships. We were created to be in relationship, and the author of Hebrews is underscoring this in terms of our relationship to one another as the body of Christ. as the Christian community, he is talking about this relationship and the essential piece of this relationship. Relationship, genuine, authentic relationship is vital to our existence. I read a news article from CNN. In the month of October, more people in Japan died of suicide than of COVID-19 for all of 2020. In 1 month, those people were more dangerous to themselves because of the way that they thought, the way they viewed themselves and the world, and more people died from taking their own life in October, in 1 month, than all of 2020 with COVID-19. There have been more drug overdoses and deaths in the city of San Francisco last year than of COVID deaths. 600 plus people have died of a drug overdose in San Francisco compared to 100 and some of COVID. Prior to COVID ever being a word we ever used, we had a problem in our society of loneliness, of depression, of anxiety, of isolation. And that problem was only intensified with what happened back in March. Essential to our existence as humans is relationship. Essential to the church is our being together and gathering as the body of Christ. The author of Hebrews says it this way. Therefore, in verse 19, therefore what? That therefore is telling us, because of what I've just said to all of you in chapter 9, beginning of chapter 10, and really from chapter 1 to chapter 10, because of all I said, therefore, brothers and sisters, so our therefore was last week. Therefore, since God has lavished his grace upon us, that's what we talked about last week, because God has lavished his grace upon us through Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, we can have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, before I move on from that part, there's a lot of Old Testament imagery that is being used in this beginning part of chapter 10, verse 19. Because of what God has done in Christ, that God has made a way for us to experience this new relationship with him, in that we don't have to go through the temple sacrificial system anymore. That's what the author of Hebrews is telling this predominantly Jewish group of people that are Christians now. Jesus has done something amazing for us. He has torn the veil that had separated God, the Holy of Holies, from the rest of us. And one time a year, the high priest would go into that Holy of Holies and he would offer a sacrifice. One time a year. And the author of Hebrews says Jesus has torn that veil in half, and now we can enter God's presence, God's throne room, because of what Jesus has done for us. And God lavishes his grace upon us and invites us to his table, which is exactly what we did last week. Because all of that is true for us as Christians, let us draw near to God, is what the author of Hebrews is telling us. Because God has forgiven us, God has granted us salvation, God has lavished his grace upon us. And because all of that is true, the author says, he tells the church, he tells you and me, let us hold unswervingly to not be moved, not be shaken, unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. the author of Hebrews is talking to a Christian community that has felt pressure on all sides. Many scholars believe there's been persecution that has been happening within this Christian community. Some actually think that there were some of the Jews who had become Christians that were starting to isolate themselves from the Christian community and kind of giving up on their faith in Jesus. A couple of months ago, maybe October, September, I can't remember when, I started telling you about some Christian pastors and worship leaders that had started to give up on their faith. 2020 has been a difficult year in a lot of ways. And just as the pressures mounted for these Christians that the author of Hebrews was writing to, the pressures mount for us as well as Christians seeking to follow Jesus. But because all those things are true about what God has done in Christ, the author of Hebrews is telling us to consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The author of Hebrews is telling us because of Christ's sacrifice, we can gather together in confidence with boldness, he says in a different place in Hebrews, and draw near to God and worship him. That is why the Christian church has gathered since Jesus left. On that first day of the week, from the time he left until this very moment in history, to worship God because of what he has done for us in Christ. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we can come together and believe that God hears us, God sees us, God knows us. And it's right and it's good for us to worship him together as his body. The author of Hebrews knows the mounting pressure on the Christian church, where it's believed that this was probably written for Christians who lived in Rome or in Italy. And if you know anything about the first century and second century, it wasn't a very good time for Christians in the Roman capital. This is probably written before the Jerusalem temple was razed to the ground in 70 AD. And so there was a lot of pressure on Christians who sought to follow Jesus. And the author of Hebrews says one of the reasons why we can approach God, why we need to approach God, why it's essential that we can experience the grace of God, why it's essential that you gather together as the body of Christ is so that you can maintain your Christian confession and hope. It's not easy to maintain that Christian confession when the pressures are all around you to give it up, when the pressures are all around you to say it'd be easier to not have anything to do with that stuff anymore and just to kind of live my life. It'd be easier to just go along to get along than to stand for what we as Christians believe about who Jesus is, about who God is, about who we are as human beings, about what is right and wrong, about what is good and what is evil, about the way we're called to live our lives and raise our families. Sometimes it's just easier to be silent about that. The author of Hebrews knows that, and it's happening in these churches. And he's saying, in order to maintain your Christian confession and hope, it's important that you meet together for mutual encouragement. This thing we call Christianity is pretty hard to do by yourself. If you grew up in the church, as I did, I was forced to do a lot of things my whole life growing up in the church. You had to go to Sunday school class. You had to go to vacation Bible school. You had to go to junior high youth group. You had to go into the junior choir. You had to go to all kinds of stuff. And I was inundated with things of the church as a kid. And I'm trying to do the same thing to my kids. And one of the most important things I've tried to advocate is for somebody who is in 6th grade to 12th grade here at Grace Church. We call that Grace Youth Ministry, to get involved in youth group. Because it's pretty difficult to follow Jesus by yourself out there in this world and in this culture. And the reality is, you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. And I know that's true with all the challenges our kids face. And that isn't any different for me as a pastor, as a dad. It's not any different for you either. We are called, the author of Hebrews is encouraging us to meet together for mutual encouragement. Because he knows, as the early church knew, the day of Jesus' return is drawing near. Which is true. You and I are living in the end times. They thought they were living in the end times. They believed they were. Jesus was going to come back. When I first started doing some teaching and leading prayer meeting at the church I grew up in, I was in my 20s. And most of the guys leading prayer meeting were in their upper 70s or 80s. You know what they always said to me? We're living in the end times. Now, all those guys, every single one of them that I started doing this with, have gone on to glory. They're with Jesus now. And here I am. They believed they were living in the end times. And the author of Hebrews says, yes, you are. It is all the more important that you hold fast to this faith as the day draws near. And your holding fast is very much connected to your meeting together. I cannot be the body of Christ by myself. I am not the body of Christ. I am a member of the body of Christ, but the body of Christ is us gathered together. And we are the representation of Christ and who he is to the world around us, not by ourselves, but collectively as the Christian community, as the body of Christ. And it's going to be very difficult as we face challenges as the church to maintain that Christian confession and hope. We need each other. We need each other in our lives. And that can't be just something that happens every now and again. If what I said is true about human relationships, then I think it's all the more true when we are challenged to live in a particular way following Jesus and we start feeling pressure on following those ways. The author of Hebrews is telling this church that you need each other. Do not stop meeting together, whatever it looks like. In Rome, it was a lot of times house churches. They didn't gather in a building we call a church. As we know, the church is not this building. You and I gather together are the body of Christ, whether it's happening here or whether we do it in my house at a life group or you do it in somebody else's house. Or sometimes we do it outside. We together gathered are the body of Christ. And we need each other in our lives. The author of Hebrews is saying this is essential to your ability to follow Jesus. This is essential to your ability to not become self-focused, but to spur one another on to love and good deeds. This is essential to be able to maintain your Christian confession and hope. The author of Hebrews is telling us our Christian community will flourish more vigorously within Christian fellowship. I don't know how you felt when we weren't meeting together, but I was honest with you and confessed to you that it was difficult. It was difficult for me as the pastor, and I felt that spiritually throughout 2020, of sitting behind my computer screen talking into a camera. That was not easy. I believe wholeheartedly that my relationship with Jesus flourishes much better when I am in community with others. And so we had to stop our services. We stopped all of our outreach events. We stopped our VBS. We stopped our egg hunt. We didn't even meet as a life group. We didn't have any of our connection groups or Sunday school time. Everything that helped me develop as a follower of Jesus was shut down. And I felt that spiritually. And as things get more tense for us as followers of Jesus, which I believe they are going to be, in order to maintain our Christian confession, we need each other in our lives. If we are going to flourish and not simply survive, we need Christian fellowship. It is essential to who we are as the body of Christ. As what we've seen in March through however many months it's been now, as I talked about with this hoarding of toilet paper and everything else, we become self-focused. We need each other to spur us on to doing exactly what God has called us to do, to love our neighbor as ourself. The next couple of Sundays, I'm going to talk about what that means, why we need each other to maintain this Christian confession. What does that mean, and why is that so important? And what it means that we need each other to spur one another on to good works and to loving deeds. Our mission is to tell people about Jesus. We need each other in our lives to help us to do that. What we've discovered, which was always true, but we've discovered it even more, I believe, in 2020, is that we need the body of Christ gathered together to maintain that confession, to maintain that hope that we have, to spur one another on. You cannot be the body of Christ as an individual. It doesn't work. Individually, are not the body of Christ. We gathered together are the body of Christ. This Christian community that supports one another, that encourages one another, that helps one another maintain this Christian confession. When the pressure is on, there's other people who are not turning away from Jesus. The body of Christ is His gathered church, and it's not coming here on a Sunday. The fact that we come to this building, we call it church, it only exists as such because we are gathering in the name of Jesus. When you come to life group, I lead a life group on Monday. When you come to my house on Monday, you are the gathered body of Christ. I want to encourage you. Now, we have stuff that we actually call life groups, groups that meet that we give the title life group. But I want to encourage you that if you are not a part of a group, whether it's part of Grace Church or some other fellowship of believers, I want to encourage you to be a part of one. We have things actually called life groups that meet periodically. We have a women's Bible study that meets. Ron and I are talking about a men's Bible study that's going to begin in the very near future. There's a group of guys that meets at my house every month. There's a MOPS ministry that meets. There's groups happening all around us as the gathered body of Christ. And we started these when I came to Grace Church, not because we were getting ready for COVID-19, but because I believed this was true then, and I believe it's true now. And all the more as we face and as that day in which Jesus returns approaches. And as you and I are challenged as followers of Jesus to live a particular way within this culture who is going in the opposite direction, I want to share some things next week about that. And so I'm preempting that message with this one of our need to be in each other's lives, to maintain this Christian confession and witness in this world, and to help us encourage one another to continue on the mission that God's given us. That mission hasn't changed. There's a lot of people out there that need to know about Jesus and what He offers to them. And it's our job to be His representation as the body of Christ. our gathering is essential to our witness of who Jesus is in this world. Our gathering is essential to our own fellowship and advancement of the gospel as the body of Christ. Our gathering is essential to you and I encouraging and supporting one another as we have pressure on every side on whether or not we're going to continue to follow Jesus in a world that is growing more and more antagonistic towards the things of God. You and I need each other. God has given us a very special gift. It's called the church. He's given you and I a family of brothers and sisters that we're not just trying to drudge our way through life, but we get to experience genuine human relationships, which is actually vital and essential to human existence. If you're not a part of a group, I encourage you to be a part of one. If you're still uncomfortable for folks at home, if you want to start a group on Zoom, then start a group on Zoom. It is essential that we continue to gather as the body of Christ for all these reasons. And I believe as we do that, we will flourish as a Christian community. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for, I'm grateful for this community that you have given us here at Grace Church. God, I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters in Christ that are here to support one another, encourage one another, spur one another on to live for Jesus. God, we know that that is becoming more and more difficult. We're facing more and more challenges, it seems, on every side. God, help us to maintain this Christian witness and our hope that we have in Jesus. God, remind us of how much we need one another, the importance of the gathered body of Christ. God, help us to focus, as I encouraged people last week, as we try and figure out what is truly essential in our lives, what is essential and what is a priority to us. God, help us to see you following Jesus together as brothers and sisters, as a Christian community, essential to who we are. God, help us to build our lives on the truths, the promises that Jesus has given us, and to build together, Lord, into a vibrant place in which the gospel is proclaimed and lived out, and where people find hope in your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.